I'm wrong about this weather, you can tell me about a Tuesday. All right, the Lord's table is designed for the local church of believers in their assembly in contemplation, concentration on the person of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. This is to be done in thanksgiving, as the technical term for the Lord's table is called the Eucharist in the Greek, which means thanksgiving. It is a time of reflection upon his work, especially as it pertains to his victory over the power of sin. This as it relates, obviously, with those that the doctrinal know, to the sin nature. Both phase one and phase two is incorporated in regards to the concept of the Lord's table. Phase one obviously refers to victory over the sin nature as it relates to eternal condemnation. Phase two implications are made clearly by Paul in the book of Corinthians in regards to their approach to the Lord's table, doing it out of fellowship. And he gave the commandment, to, if we judge our bodies rightly, we will not be judged. And avoiding the divine discipline regards is associated with taking or observing the ritual, taking the elements out of fellowship. So victory over the sin nature is what God provides so that we are not left stranded under relative righteousness and human good, but we can have God's righteousness regards to our own lives and therefore glorify our Lord and Savior in this fashion. The ritual itself is obviously symbolic. That means that it is not efficacious in regards to our salvation. In other words, it does not save us. It is simply a representation, a form or teaching aid in regards to Bible doctrine and what we believe. There are churches, religions, that teach that you must take of the Eucharist in order to be saved. That is not the case. It's no more, no different than water baptism in regards to its ritualistic form in that respect. But it is obviously highly significant in regards to what it means to have true fellowship and unity in regards to being a part of the body of Christ, as the elements, the two elements are symbolic of in regards to the ritual. We have two elements, the bread and the cup. That is symbolic of the body of Christ and his work on the cross. Then you have two actions that are associated with it, the eating and drinking. This is symbolic of the individual's faith in his person in order to obtain the ability to overcome the SCA and its eternal consequences otherwise in regards to the individual's life. And as is our custom, we ask everyone to wait until all have been served before we partake of the bread. The bread pictures the person of Jesus Christ with emphasis on his humanity. He is the bread that came out of heaven, denoting the condescension of God the Son, the second member of the Godhead, into union with his humanity, producing a unique creation, and that is a creation that was truly both God and man. Bread, however, looks at the fact that it is in his humanity that salvation has been made possible and available to us. There's two aspects in regards to the bread as tantamount to the symbolism. One is the fact that it's first and foremost it's unleavened. This indicates the fact that Jesus Christ was born in this world without a sin nature. That makes him unique in that regards also. Adam and Eve are created without a sin nature, but he is the only human being that was born in the world without a sin nature. This was made possible because his earthly mother, Mary, was impregnated by God the Holy Spirit. He bypassed the male partner in regards to that which creates pregnancy, and hence bypassed the sin nature gene, which is inherent in regards to all flesh otherwise. So Christ came into the world in his humanity without a sin nature. He was hence spiritually alive. And this gave him an opportunity then, based on his human will, to maintain this status of righteousness throughout the entirety of his life, become the sacrificial lamb in regards to mankind, and the bearing of sins. And the bearing of sins is pictured in the other aspect of the bread that is broken. This looks at the fact that Jesus Christ literally was judged in his body for the sins of mankind. His body took on the consequences and results of God's wrath with respect to the judgments of sins for everybody that's ever existed on this planet or ever will exist in that respect. So together, he was absolutely righteous, and he sacrificed that righteousness on behalf of man, taking on the penalty of the sins of the world, so that any who eats of the bread, has faith in his person, can themselves be benefactors in regards to the salvation that he provided in this way. And on the same night that he was betrayed, he broke the bread, and having given thanks, he said, "This is my body which is given for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me." Father, again, we thank you for your plan that is perfect. We thank you for the sacrifice of the Godhead on our behalf through the person of Jesus Christ in this vein. We ask that you continue to bless us in our concentration and recall doctrine in regards to continuation of observance of this ritual. In Jesus' name, amen. It's also our custom for all to retain the cup until we've been served. cup which you hold extends the picture of Christ's work on the cross, from his body to his spiritual death. While he absorbed all the wrath of God for the punishment of sins, Christ also did something else on the cross in his body, literal body. He also did something else on the cross, and that is that he gave up that absolute righteousness which he possessed from birth. That is known as the shedding of his blood in symbolism in the Old Testament and New Testament alike. This reflects the fact that Jesus Christ possessed a human spirit. When he came into this world, the human spirit is created in righteousness and set apart for the absolute veracity of truth. And this is what he gave up when he took on the sins of mankind in his body and bore the pain and suffering in that vein. He died spiritually. One who otherwise would have lived forever gave that up so that we, if we believed in him, could ourselves live forever. Christ went to the cross at 9 in the morning. He was on the cross for 6 hours till 3 in the afternoon. The first 3 hours, what he endured on that cross is simply the sufferings and persecution brought upon him by men themselves. It is the 3 hours from noon to 3 that the efficacious part of Christ being on the cross took place. Sin-bearing took place. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God had not forsaken him. But it is a clue to those who are of the know that his fellowship with the Father and Godhead had been broken. He underwent spiritual death. This looks at the redeeming qualities of his work on the cross, picturing mankind being sold into the slave market of sin through the fall in the garden. He purchased us through the sacrifice and payment of his plus R on the cross for those 3 hours that his body endured the pain and suffering of God's wrath otherwise. At the end of the 3 hours, he cried out, "It is finished." What is finished? That is sin-bearing. At that point in time, his human spirit was returned to him, because he obviously was not guilty of anything otherwise. And one of the perks that Messiah was given by the Father was that his deity then checked out his humanity. But the physical death that he underwent, the spiritual death that lasted for 3 hours, the physical death lasted less than 3 hours, or 3 days, less than 72 hours, he was given, for the first of any human person, a resurrection body. His resurrection body, which now he is being exalted as the glorified God-man for all eternity. Success is ours. Success is the world's. It's a reality. All you have to do is avail yourself of it through faith in his person in this regard. And likewise, after they had eaten, he took the cup, and having given thanks, said, "This cup which is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you." Father, again, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, all that he's provided in regards to the power of the sin nature in our lives, that we can indeed overrule it, have fellowship with you, true fellowship with one another, and that we can avail ourselves in regards to all the eternal benefits and blessings that are in store for those who are victorious in this vein through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He made it possible. We simply ride on his coattails in this regard. We humbly thank you for that opportunity and love that you have expressed towards mankind in this vein. We ask you to keep each of us safe once again today and bring us back for our next Bible class safe and sound. In Jesus' name, amen.